grateful member of Al-Anon, and so grateful to be here for service and to share my strength, courage, and hope. For the newcomers, welcome, and please do keep coming back. The program works. It really does work. I also really want to thank everyone who plays a part in these amazing monthly speaker meetings. Without all of our hands helping, these meetings would not exist. I've been in program for over 3 years. My home group is a 7:45 Wednesday night Pleasant Hill Easy Does It meeting. Also, being a pandemic baby into Al-Anon, my electronic home groups are the 8 p.m. Thursday night Benicia Hilltop group and the New York 9:05 a.m. Today's Reminder 3 group. And I'd like to do a reading first from Courage to Change on page 274. And this reading is on choices. It's page 274, September 30th. Just for today, I can try out new behavior. I can take the point of view that perhaps I have been given a lifetime to learn something about myself. Maybe life is a series of experiments in which some succeed and some fail, and in which the failures, as well as the successes, point the way to fresh experiments. Just for today, I might try slightly changing some pattern of behavior that repeatedly causes me problems, just to see what happens. For example, if I have a habit of responding with a negative attitude to a particular person or situation, getting out of bed, working, requests for help, authority figures, I can try a different, more positive response. I can think of it as research and learn from whatever happens. This day is all I have to work with. The past is over and tomorrow is out of my reach. I will try to remember what a great gift this day can be and make full use of it. Today's reminder, just for today, I will look for ways to enjoy life. Stop by a garden, try a new hobby, or call a good friend. I can look for humor. I can save your love. I can explore something new, maybe just for today. I'll try standing on my head to see if I like the view. Quote, just for today, I will find a little time to relax and to realize life is and can be time to think about God and get a better perspective on myself. Alcoholism, the family disease. And I'd like to talk on today or tonight, what it was like, where I was, and where I am now. I'm standing in the aisleway, the plane's violently shaking, wind noise all around me. All I can see is my wife and daughter screaming at one another in the aisleway. All the oxygen masks are deployed. My other daughter is curled up on the aisle seat, and my son wrapped around his mom's leg. I look around. No one else is on board. No pilots in the cockpit. All the alarms going off in the plane. All I'm thinking about is how to get the plane down on the ground and just what to do next. This is the image that replayed many times in my head and still continues at times. As my household became more and more unmanageable, and now realize the whole family unit is diseased, not just the alcoholic. I grew up not so far away in Livermore, California. Parents rarely drank, no yelling or screaming or real drama. What I realized or now understand is I'm a survivor of generational trauma, secrets, avoidance, not feeling enough, ghosting, negativity, workaholism, and I'm sure to discover many other isms as my onion layers get more and more peeled apart. I can look back and see my parents both grew up in times of scarcity back east. My mom's dad was the one who would leave to get milk and not come back for days. My mom turned into the parent for her two sisters as the mom was not emotionally present at times. I'm sure there is a web of the disease through our family generations, and certain some of this flowed into my DNA. I felt my nervous system was already installed from the beginning with a very high sensitivity to other moods, reactions, and needed more validation than a normal person, which my parents did not have or could not provide to soothe my worries and anxiety. I felt growing up that it became smaller and smaller and tried not to stick out or bring attention. It was better just to be a chameleon in the loner role than have to deal with uncomfortable situations. I felt like I walked around with a force field around me and had very few friends growing up. I also mastered the tools of avoidance, run away, or just not talk about it and move on. Fast forwarding, what I did find was a relief valve to fix others and get into relationships with people who were toxic or hurtful. I realize now it was the highs and lows that I was addicted to, and the disease of relationships, the disease of fixing, managing, and controlling. I know now that hurt people hurt people. I would change my ways to keep the other person at peace, and often changes sacrifice my own well-being or what the true north was really in my life. I created my own instruction manual and morals and boundaries based off my own thinking. My parents weren't present or available, or either worked a lot, or as I see it through my own lens, were still in need of dealing with their own childhood. I just had to figure it out without help. I soon became a master of having no voice, making my relationship my higher power, and losing myself more and more. Marriage one prepped me into accepting unacceptable, even without the alcohol. Makeup breakups, screaming and yelling, caving in if they didn't get their way, jealousy, black and white thinking, and it's not okay to change my mind. My second marriage ended in divorce and is still going through that process. Alcoholism, it is a progressive disease. And as I learned, it does not get better on its own. I tried to fix, manage, control many times, and each time produce a similar output of insanity. For those of you who are in the math, here's a simple equation for you. Me, parentheses, my obsession, plus them, parentheses, my disease, equals unmanageability, parentheses, obsessing with them. And it's the inability to accept we are powerless in the battle of our ego. It became like dancing with a gorilla every time I chose to try to change them or try to provide the reason or shame them or control them or choose to not let go of the rope because I wanted to be right. Not just me got hurt, but the whole family got hurt more every time. The alcoholism progressed and the disease slowly depleted everyone in the family. And my enabling and codependent magic created a leaderless environment. It was so much easier to jump off and focus on others so I didn't have to look at myself. And I became increasingly a workaholic and often displayed the fun dad role. I think many of you had heard the disease can be like frogs in a pot of water. As the heat slowly increases, the frogs do not feel it until it's too late. The frog who got out of the pot first was my oldest, starting to act out and run away. I look back on the months for running away as a sign and the effects of this disease. I too played a role of enabling, trying to track down my daughter every time she ran off and becoming obsessed of her whereabouts and who she was with. The outcome too made me look a bit crazier than her or the other parent. In my meditation and prayers, I pray for my kids. They have their own path to follow, I realize. And I give them each a warm blanket. I let them have the dignity to follow their own path. And they each have their own higher power. I had to leave. I had to leave that marriage. It was a loving thing to do. The family needed direction. And I had to preserve what dignity I had left and worked the program to find myself again. I had to get out of my own way. I had to get out of my qualifier's way and start healing. I had to stop taking my pulse on someone else's wrist. Without these rooms, my sponsor, my higher power, and outreach, and more outreach, I would have been up. Let me use my technical term. I would have been up shit creek. There were no other options the way this program has brought me for recovery. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. I use all the tools, including prayer and meditation, and journaling as much as I can. The early morning is when I can see my clearest and connect with my higher power. My other important tool I use is my voice and service. I learned the insensitive world is not designed for sensitive people. It's not as kind as it is in this program. Some of my deepest, most intimate times I've had on this earth continue to be shared with Al-Anon members. You're the only ones that get me in my struggles. I never felt before that I had a safe place or felt safe enough to feel my feelings. Tomorrow marks a third anniversary of my mom passing from pancreatic cancer. I'm still in the trauma over this, as I was in an unmanageable situation and trying to grieve all at the same time. Grief and feelings are finally starting to hit me, and I'm just trying to heal one day at a time. I just wanted to share that when she passed that morning, I felt alone. Whatever I needed for support, a shoulder to cry on, or just to be heard, it wasn't there. That night when I went to one of my online meetings and shared what happened, I cried, I shared my sadness, grief, complete loss. They heard me and I felt loved. You know who you are out there. I love you. Love you, Mom. My isms are like a smoldering fire that can ignite at any time. I have to stay in program. It's not optional. And I get 24 more hours before I have to reset again. Every morning I get to make the choice of what kind of man I want to be. Steps 1 to 3 is giving up and taking the pain and transform into growth. It's not just for me, but for my kids. So they don't have to take care of me. So they know they don't have to take care of me. And I can strive to be an emotionally present human being and a parent. My sickness gets bigger when I get away from the program. I had to get off the horse, realizing when it's dead, and put down the magnifying glass and pick up the mirror. As I grew up in Al-Anon, I started to work the steps with a sponsor, and the term higher power was my first hurdle. Church only came to mind growing up Catholic, and the only way to know my higher power was when my higher power hit me with a God shot. I can remember one of my first God shots a few years back involved with calling jury duty. I was still in the phase of trying to control outcomes, and I still had an anger, resentment, and obsession with my alcoholic drinking. And I was mad at the alcohol industry. I don't know what I was going to do. Shut every place down, or I don't know what I was thinking. But I also played this cold turkey game. I quit drinking anything alcohol related around my wife, thinking that would help in a passive aggressive, weird roundabout way. But newsflash, she kept drinking. Yeah, amazing. But going back to the jury, I made it through. And of course, my luck or whatever higher power moment, I made it to chair one to deliver the message. But prior to the decision, it was a DUI case. And of course, with my anger, resentment, I already had the side decided I was going to take this dude down. And as I spent several days with a group of strangers, something hit me. This person was human and deserved the same respect and dignity as everyone else, and had to let go and let God and work in unity with the other jurors to be fair. We all had to be fair and all had to make the choice together. And I believe that was one of my first higher power moments. Before program, I would stare and live in the past and obsess about things I couldn't control. I can now walk in the past, my higher power, look in the rearview mirror, but don't stare. Don't stare too long and understand how much chaos and unmanageability what I was in. I actually had to take a direction and actually go straight into the uncomfortable path. When a path or direction wasn't working, I had to take the one I didn't travel yet. Al-Anon is self-acceptance program. You let go, let God. Looking to sick people to give me what I can't give myself wasn't working. The meetings have provided me relief to my pain, and the steps provide the recovery. I've taken a different lens and continue to change that lens with each situation, interaction, and conversation. How important is it? This slogan buys me that second of time to not go off the first impulse of a decision or reaction, but actually hear and understand, do I even need to say anything? My mouth is the most dangerous tool ever developed when I couple it with my isms. And at times, my avoidance keeps me from using my mouth as one of the most valuable tools. I still have my slips. And my kids now are my trainers. Yes, my trainers. If I'm not voicing concerns, it'll fester, then I'll react later. If I try to control them, then I'll see their reactions on me later. I have to look at myself and examine my motives. Why am I doing this? And is my rationalization honest? And this is very hard for me for the in-the-moment responses. I continue to work the program. And when meetings or anyone else needs service, I do my best to be of service. I currently am a group rep for my home meeting. And I've chaired meetings and jump in whenever needed, set up chairs, making tea, clean up, or just to talk to someone after the meeting or just to take a call. I continue to use my tools in my current life as I go through a very difficult divorce with three kids. And I use three B's. They have saved me so many times from so many difficult situations, being brief, being firm, and being gone. I can also have respect for myself and do not have to accept extreme behaviors. I have choices. I can walk away, not answer the email. I can call my sponsor or fellow, or I can do nothing. My scale normalcy has also changed, and I am more selective on who I allow to even come to my front door. I had little or no boundaries in relationships, as I was never programmed or brought up understanding being yelled at, name called, is not okay. I no longer have to be a doormat, and no is also a complete sentence. I've tried to make use of Jade more automatic. Don't justify, argue, defend, or explain. And as I said prior in my early life, I had few friends. I now have more friends from Al-Anon and friends I used to have. I have stopped seeing due to my isolation. I've rekindled friendships and I'll fight to keep these and rebuild them. And that was mainly due to my isolating and being caught up in relationships. I've started my own transformation on who I really want to be and who I am. Feeling my feelings more and more every day, and journaling what I am feeling has been a game changer. I was on autopilot for many, many years and just didn't have a faint sense of who I was or even myself. And I'll slowly end this. Last week, I drove up to my dad's place in Oregon, lives in Bend, Oregon, if you know where that is. And he's been there for about 20 years. And all the visits previously, they've been basically focused on him trying to control me, hovering over me, hermiting in his house, shaming him for almost getting swindled on phone scams, or looking at every other problem in the world that he has in his house, and then hearing him say, you should, you should, you should. So it's just a repetitive, it's just a tough relationship. But I have to thank Al-Anon. It was different this time. It was totally different. I didn't bring the kids with me or feel guilty for not bringing the kids. I felt an urgency to see him. He's in, his health and mobility are not that great. I think a gust of wind could blow him over. And it's just that he's in his 80s. He's old. But he's hanging in his house. But I also felt a need to connect with him, as we never had a father-son relationship. going on a walk together, talking about our feelings, dreams, or life challenges. That wasn't really part of growing up with him. It's always nice conversations, but never really anything deep. He's never really present. He had very few friends like myself, and now I realize I have more in common with him than I know. I have especially a lot of trouble connecting with men and keeping friendships. He had that too, and a lot stems from cultural expectations on how we lose ourselves in marriage and relationships. And I'm still trying to figure that out. But what happened differently is I asked him some very vulnerable questions. And I just put myself in the uncomfortable world. Like, why did him and mom divorce after 30 years? What was his parents like? Did you ever feel you were not enough? And he answered every one. We had a back and forth dialogue very calmly at the table. I even brought up they lost a baby before I was born, and they nonchalantly told me in my 20s, like, oh yeah, by the way, and then just kind of moved on. Well, I actually asked him, well, how'd you feel about that? What'd you guys do? What happened at the hospital? All those things. And, you know, we talked about it, and that it wasn't about the answers I was getting. It's just I never talked to him on this level or got that connection with him. And actually, I felt like I learned a lot, because when he did his negative self-talk, which I got a lot of that from him, I actually told him about he is enough. And I felt like I was reversing roles with him. And before I left Oregon, I gave him a big, long hug and told him he is enough and I love him. I felt I grew and that both of our higher powers were there, whether he knows it or not. I learned to accept him for who he was, and it's now that he shows his love in many different ways. I can accept him constantly telling me, be careful, be safe. I can accept that as a way of him saying that he loves me. It's not controlling. And I'll tell you what, I'll probably miss him saying that when he isn't around anymore. I also learned I can treat myself and not feel guilty for spending money, as that was one of the things I inherited greatly about scarcity. And on my way back, I stopped at Mount Bachelor and I skied the heck out of the mountain for the whole day. And I didn't feel bad for paying for lift tickets or that. So, and it was 20 years since I skied. And it was all because about money and feeling bad for spending and all that weird stuff. And so I broke that chain. I was happy to hear. And I want to close by reading a few pieces out of How Al-Anon Works. It's in How Al-Anon Works, page 24, bottom, seen more realistically. Coming to Al-Anon, we begin to look more realistically at our situations. Some of us are forced to face facts when circumstances demand our attention, as when a loved one is arrested or files for divorce. Having our world shattered can leave us feeling disoriented and panicky. At such times, Al-Anon can be a lifesaver. When our sense of reality proves unreliable, we need help to regain our footing. Al-Anon provides a simple step-by-step approach to rebuilding our lives and our self-confidence in an atmosphere of unconditional love. Others are free to come to terms with reality more gradually. Many of us discover that we no longer need the same survival tactics now, that we have the support of fellowship that truly understands it, and the tools of the program that help us deal with problems that once overwhelmed us. Our defenses become not only necessary, but clearly undesirable. And I just want to leave it and close that keep coming back. It works if you work it. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak tonight.
What an incredible night. Oh my gosh. I had to get a new little packet of Kleenex and I almost left it at home and I was like, no, no, no. I can already tell it's going to be a good one. And it so was. Before closing,